Hey, welcome to another episode of Fans of Motion, the Ultimate Night Ranger and Rock Podcast. Welcome to part two of our interview with Ross Valerie. On this episode, we really dig into his new record, All of the Above. We talk about everything about the record. We talk about the artwork, how eclectic these songs are on the record. We go track by track. We talk about the origins of these songs, the performers on the track. It's a really great episode. Of course, as in part one, Eric Levy of Night Ranger, who's playing keyboards on this record, joins us as well as long at, along with Jacob Stowe, who is the studio producer engineer, jack of all trades there at the Sandbox. So, without any further ado, here you go, part two of Ross Valerie.
Why did it take so long? Why now, finally, all of the above? Well, the music had to develop and complete itself, but the technology here and the techniques here had to come up to speed. So it's several factors that had to lead to completion for this album to come out as it has for the first time in my career.
So let's dig into the album. The album again released April this year, 2024. All of the above.
Whoa, hey, goodies. Whoa.
Let's talk. I've always loved vinyl, even back in the 90s. I loved it back in the 90s because I could get all my vinyl records for like $2. Now that's not the case. But let's talk about the artwork a little bit. What do we got? We got the vinyl record in the background, but what's the describe the artwork and the meaning to the record?
Well, I'll begin by describing the artist, Prairie Prince, original member of Journey, and of course, a continuing member of the Tubes, and more importantly, a well-known and respected artist on top of all of that. And I've had the privilege of working with them and developing all of the artwork, not only for the album, but the title pages for the music videos, which I'm sure we could talk about eventually. But Prairie and I go a long way back, and he's local to the Bay Area when he's not busy out there with Todd Rundgren in the Tubes. And I had this concept for All of the Above, which he immediately took to, and we developed the artwork you're seeing, which is represents to me, All of the Above represents visually there different instruments I'm recording with for the first time. To me, it's not a feature, but it is it's a reality. I'm recording keyboards and guitars on various songs and fretless for the first time being recorded. So that's one meaning of All of the Above. Another meaning represented in the artwork, if you look a little closer or think of it differently, is the variety of music. Very eclectic, a very broad spectrum of styles, be they current or past. And another meaning would be the long list of various musicians who played because of their talent and their ability on particular songs that suited their talent. So that's the meaning of the artwork. Prairie found a photograph of a Buddhist bronze statue to modify. And we chose in the artwork, we chose something similar to Sanskrit with Prairie's adapting the font from Sanskrit to something barely legible, psychedelic poster art kind of approach. So that's definitely a throwback.
And now you have this record finally coming out, comes out in April. mostly instrumental. You do have a cover, a cover on there. But it's, when you get this record, and I think, talking to some people, some people think there's such a, maybe it's a drastic, not a drastic, but it's different than Journey. And where I kind of come back and say, well, if you listen to those first three records, it's not that different. You could easily take what's the record that was released in Japan, Dream On, Dream After Dream, right?
I see your point here, Josh. The similarity of eclectic music in all of the above as it relates to early Journey experimental music. Once again, early Journey,
correct? Yeah,
music, that's what we were, that's what we loved to play, that's what we recorded, that's what we released. There were no restrictions. There were some songs, obviously, the vocal songs that were far more attractive to a broader audience, but this is who we, that's who we were at that time. And that represents, I think, closely the kind of music I am attracted to writing. I was composing more for those beginning albums, and was involved with composing for that Japanese soundtrack release called Dream After Dream. Yeah, so there's a definite correlation between the music I'm doing now, early Journey, and the Journey soundtrack. That was a great project. That was so much freedom for everybody at the time to do that soundtrack, because it was off the beaten path. Hey, this is for a movie. We can create moods. We can use other influences and other styles that don't necessarily relate to our main musical theme as a band. That was a great experience.
Yeah, and for those that don't know, there's a Journey record recorded only in Japan, I think 1980. Dream After Dream. Like I said, it's a movie soundtrack. So if you're not familiar with it, go track it down. Like I said, it was a Japanese release only. And the first track off of All the Above, Wild Kingdom, to me, Festival Dance from Dream After Dream could immediately follow that track.
Wow.
I mean, like,
thought of that, but yeah.
I imagine, like, and that's what's great about this record. I mean, you got to listen to it twice. It's a record, All the Above is a record that you can have in the car driving. I had it on over the weekend when we had a cookout, just, music in the background. If you self-medicate, I definitely, take that and listen to it. You'll get a whole new experience.
You now you're talking.
But, it's like I kind of described, like I said, it's not that, they're very similar, but Wild Kingdom is a song where you can see yourself out in the bush and rhinos and elephants, and you got your safari hat on, and Festival Dance could be that evening after the hunt or whatever, and you're back in the village and you're with the fire and you're, it's the relaxing time in the evening. But I just thought there was such a correlation between, some of that Journey stuff that maybe people wouldn't think that's there. But let's talk about Wild Kingdom. Wild Kingdom, is that one of the oldest tracks that you worked on the record?
Wild Kingdom, I began writing on a synthesizer with a Calliope patch in the mid-80s. And it has been somewhat of a complete piece because I could play it all in various arrangements, all on the keyboard with minimal instruments. So for me, that was fairly easy composition to develop as I began with Eric in 2012. So that's a song, along with others, that I would jam over the years with people. Somewhere in Steve Smith's reel-to-reel 24 track storage is a take we did just for the fun of it, because I was over at his house rehearsing for another album project for Neil Zazan. Wild Kingdom with Steve Smith is somewhere in storage, but I had the benefit with that song of bringing in for the first time Carl Perazzo, the master percussionist with Carlos Santana. And Carl appears on many of the songs on the album and is practically as vital to the meat of the music as Eric is. Carl brought in Walfredo Reyes to perform the drums on Wild Kingdom. And there we go. And they laid down what Carl considers some fairly traditional Latin rhythms. Even though Wild Kingdom is not as a complete piece traditionally Latin, it's my impression based on the rhythms that they laid down. So a beautiful experience.
Beautiful. Now, is that a pan flute I hear in there? So, you know, what's, you know, I don't know all my instruments, but
I wish I could remember. That was some sampled flute. That was a long time ago. It might have been a flute or an ocarina or something like that.
Ocarina or pan flute, and it was synthesized. But the way Eric plays as a flutist can be deceiving, and there are other sounds he uses on other songs in which people wonder whether that's a synthesizer or not. Well, asking that question is flattering, I think. Yeah.
One thing I like about these tracks is, I mean, obviously most of them are bass led. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, it's Ross's album and Ross is a bass player, but I like that uniqueness. Is Tom Land, like, is that a fretless bass? Is that two basses going? Like, you know, well, I'm trying to take it in. And again, I'm not an acute musician, so I don't know exactly what all I'm hearing. I just know I like it. But talk about a little bit of what you're playing on that, Ross.
Yeah, well, first of all, mentioning how songs are bass-led, just some of the songs are bass-led, and Tom Land is definitely one of those. But my approach to the music is, and this album and what I'm even doing now, is not necessarily as a featured player, featuring the bass, and that's the meat of the music. No, it's, for me, it's about the composition and what any of the instruments, including the bass, may play a part in. Okay, but referring to Tom Land, it's just one standard four-string bass. One instrument recorded, just one instrument through the whole song. But there are two and three note chords that I'm playing, and the sound effects include pretty much a harmonizer or chorus for that, and maybe some reverb.
Not on Tom Land.
Not on Tom Land. It's pretty much straight up a chorus effect, maybe even two interwoven chorus effects, but it's one instrument recorded all the way through. And like Wild Kingdom on the keyboards, Tom Land has its origins in the early 70s and is and has been a standalone bass piece, or it could be a bass solo. And I just took this complete idea, as it was pretty much complete in the mid 80s, and simply orchestrated it with Perry Prince on drums, Miles Shawn on guitar, and of course, Eric Levy tickling the ivories.
A track I want to get on with on this record that I probably, my personal favorite, is Nightflower. I wish you would have made it longer. It's only 3.5 minutes. Like, I'm enjoying it, and it's like, you know, I'm like, where's the 8 minute version? But you got the sax, you got a haunting piano by Eric Levy, maybe. I don't know, Eric. Talk to me a little bit about that. About Nightflower, like I said, that's my personal favorite from the record.
Oh, me talk about it.
You.
It's not Nightflower, actually, I got to play a real piano on Nightflower.
Grand piano, yes.
The Steinway over at 25th Street. It's a lot of these songs are, shout out to VI Labs. I love that dude's pianos. They're great. We just happened to be in 25th Street reamping different instruments, and I think we were cutting real piano on and organ on Tomland.
Yeah.
And it was kind of, I don't even remember like being prepared to play Nightflower that day. It just kind of came up like, oh, let's do Nightflower on real piano.
Yeah, the mics are up.
Yeah. Mics are up, right?
The mics are up.
And yeah, what that's an amazing instrument over there, that piano. It's beautiful.
Jacob, you know, so, you know, is there ever tracks that, you know, was there a certain track that ever gave you trouble, like getting, you know, the sound that they wanted, or, you know, getting what you wanted out of it? You know, was there anything that just was like, you know, it seems like no matter what you do, no matter if it's music or, you know, a job, there's just always that one thing. It's like, just always keeps popping up, or you can't, you know, it always gives you trouble. Was there something within these songs? Was there a song that, you know, just gave you issues or anything that, you know, you constantly had to work on to try to fix?
There's plenty of those little things, you know, and you develop the thing, the workarounds and all that, the little bell bar that Carl's got, that really like high pitched loud ping sound that comes around sometimes. It's like it's super high frequency. That one has always been, it's always a fun challenge to make that one kind of settle in and fit in a way that doesn't like hurt. I think it happened to us a couple times on the record with that one, but that's always just, you know, it's just a fun one. Other than that, there was a few ones with, you know, takes that we really needed that were maybe a little buzzy or anything like that. You know, those are no big deal. But no, not.
I think the biggest challenge and what has been accomplished by Jacob in this is that I was mentioning earlier approaching audiophile quality, but what I didn't mention is it, some of these songs are obviously intricate. There's a lot going on in there on some of these songs, and sorting out all those parts and all those instruments that we collectively, or at least I feel, are important, and finding their place in the mix, in the image, and getting all those little subtle sounds and parts in there is quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, I will actually, I'll expand on that slightly.
Please do.
It has, as we progress through the tunes, things got increasingly more complicated, I think, with just the way that we approached. Like we had finished, I was going to say this during the discussion about Wild Kingdom, but we had finished Wild Kingdom technically. Like it, Ross had basically said, okay, this one's done. And I think it was after we went to 25th Street to do a bunch of basically group mixing was the initial idea. And it turned out to be a whole bunch of post-production. Some people cut new parts. It turned out to be a really good thing for the music. And when we got back, we were listening to Wild Kingdom, and I don't remember who said it, but we started cutting more keyboards. And we ended up cutting, I don't remember how many layers either. It was probably 4 to 5, maybe 6 new layers of keyboards on Wild Kingdom.
Oh, that's right. I played some more keyboards too. Yeah, so it was not done.
And we'll do, it was not. A lot of times with keyboard passes, keyboard tracking, there'll be, you know, maybe 4 or 5 different sounds. And he'll do anywhere from 5 to 10, sometimes beyond, takes of each sound. And then we go through each of those sounds section by section, take by take, and piece together what we call the best of. For everything that we do, we pretty much work this way. We will take at a minimum 5 takes, sometimes a lot more than that, whether it's a full band, whether it's a single person overdubbing. And then we sit there and we go through each section of every take, and they have this intricate note system, and we it's comping, and we do that for hours and hours and hours,
and it's worth it.
And at this point, you know, we're we'll be working with one sound. It has, you know, 5 to 6 sources of that sound across 10 take. It's a lot of, I think that's the, probably what's always been the largest piece of like the work around here. I think it ends up taking the most of our time. Like we can track real quickly and all of a sudden have 15, like we'll be like, oh, what if we did this? What if we tried this sound on that? And then Eric will knock out 15 takes. And then then the next day we're like, oh, we've got like 4 hours of comping to do because of that, like, you know, loose cannon 30 minutes at the end of the day.
Yeah. The feeling about it, and it's worth taking the time with compiling, grabbing different parts and different timelines, the best of. It's worth it. We have a system that Jacob mentioned. It's a grid system or a note-taking system. It might border upon maybe the way that Steely Dan has done stuff. It's just the right part for the right moment. And we found that it's worth it. Of course, I have this obsessiveness. Have I forgotten anything? Is there like just a jewel of a piece of a part that we haven't heard? We listen to everything, but as we've been doing this for years, the process moves faster. Mm-hmm. As Eric and I are sorting and noting everything that's in front of us, Jacob is looking at it at a global level, and oftentimes he'll make the choices that we didn't even bring up. So there's an intuitiveness to this, and the process gets easier, but our comping, our compiling sessions are lengthy, and the result is what we hear, especially in songs like Wild Kingdom and Windmill. We've continued to record well before this album was completed, and there's a whole slew of more material. Most of it, current creations, and in some cases we're visiting material that's been sitting unheard, and people will think there's a really broad, disparate set of styles of music on all of the above. Well, the horizon is actually larger than that. Okay. Be unprepared for something completely different again.
When you guys are talking, if
it happens, we're not sure, because there's more music being released from the album as singles and as music videos, which I'm very proud of.
And you, I want to go back to that grid system you guys are talking about, and like analyzing what the, you know, which take to put on, and do you ever go through that whole process? Is there, and you know, hey, we've spent 5 hours deciding, looking at all the different takes, and you're not happy with any of them? You know, do you ever get like that?
Never. There's, you know, we know by having made, whether it's 5 or 15 passes at a part, we know we've got it. Now we just sort out the best of from those number of takes. In a timeline, this part and then that part from there and then that part from there, and never do we walk away unsatisfied.
Because I think a big thing that doesn't do music that's released today justice is most people listen to music through their phone, through crappy earbuds. You know, this record, among many others, you know, is definitely a record you want to listen to through a great sound system. It's one of these records where I think one of you talked about it is, you know, like, I'll be listening to it and I'll be listening to Ross's bass, and then all of a sudden it goes over here and I'm in this other world and listen to these instruments, and then it goes back. And if, you know, so what I would suggest is, if you're, you know, when you get this, you know, pull this record up, take time, listen to it through your best sound system. I mean, I love, and turn the bass up just a little bit, because I mean, you can hear from the three of them how much effort they've put into picking what I want and what's the best put it together. And it's definitely an adventure. I enjoy listening to the record. Like I said, you know, I like having it on just around the house. I like having it on like we have a cookout. And if I want to relax one evening and, you know, have a little drink, it does. It takes you on an adventure, Ross. So I appreciate all the effort. I appreciate all the effort you've gone into putting this record together with, you know, Eric and Jacob and all the other players. Now, right now, we can only stream this. Do you have any plans for physical media for the record?
Not as of yet, but we'll get around to that. And I think how you've concluded the interview here very well is listen to the whole thing, turn off your phone, turn out the lights or close your eyes and listen to the whole thing on the best system. That's been my advice. You're on the right track there. Thanks so much for having us.
All right, Jacob, Levy, Ross, it was great having you guys, and you're all more than welcome to jump back on anytime. Everybody out there, go stream All the Above on all your favorite streaming platforms, and give us any updates if you guys are going to get the stuff on physical media.
YouTube.
Yeah, find please. Ross on YouTube.
Please watch the music channel. Videos.
Yeah. YouTube video.
Do it on a good sound system.
Yeah. So there you go. Go find Ross on all the social medias and go follow his station on YouTube. All right, guys. Thanks for joining me.
Adios. Thank you.
Later.
And there you go, guys. Part two of our interview with Ross Valerie, Eric Levy, and Jacob Stowe. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. It's a great journey on, see that journey? Yeah, look at that. But it's a great journey on just seeing how, you know, record is created from, you know, kind of start to finish. So I'll put some links in the comments below the post on Facebook, and I will put the link in the YouTube post as well. For his YouTube channel, you want to go to it's, if you're on YouTube, it's Ross Valerie Bass, and I'll put the link there. But if you're listening to it, just, yeah, all you gotta do is just go to at Ross Valerie Bass on YouTube, and you'll get his YouTube channel. Click subscribe there. Also, I'll put a link to Spotify or Apple Tunes or whatever it is to for the solo record, Ross's solo record, All of the Above. Make sure you check both of those links out. I'd like to thank Ross, Eric, and Jacob for joining the Fans in Motion podcast. And I'd like to thank you guys for listening. If you're a first-time listener, the hub of Fans of Motion is on Facebook. I mean, we have almost 11,000 followers on the Fans of Motion Night Ranger tribute page. All you got to do is go to Facebook, go to the top, the search, just type in Night Ranger Fans of Motion, click join. I will accept you, and you will be then with 11,000 of your closest Night Ranger friends. You can also go to www.fansofmotion.com, and we got all the podcast episodes there. What else? We got Instagram, X, Threads. You can, obviously, if you're listening to this on YouTube, click subscribe. But we're on all the big podcatchers, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple, iTunes, and Twitcher, and Threads, whatever. I don't know. There's all kinds of them. But we're everywhere, man. I mean, we're like the plague. So, you know, click like and subscribe on all that stuff. And again, I'd like to thank Ross for joining the podcast. All right, everybody, I'll see you next week. Later.